I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark. 33-year-old Seth Whitten, who's a secure destruction specialist and production supervisor at Friendship Industries, is also a three-track instructor with Wintergreen Adaptive Skiing. Seth came in to talk to me, one pants leg rolled up, sporting both a peg leg and a staggeringly positive attitude about having only one leg.
I lost my leg when I was 14 in an accident with a train here in Harrisonburg. The peg leg initially was a Halloween costume. At a certain point, feet are expensive. They're so expensive. And as a civilian, you know, dealing with the morass that has been and is our health insurance system, you kind of figure things out. It's always been very important, obviously, for me to have health insurance. And and I do have a foot, you know, that when I go on business kind of outings or whatever, I try to wear my foot. But
hey, this is business.
That's well, you know, I figured you would appreciate it. But yeah, the peg leg, it's great. Really where I wear it the most these days is when I'm on the hill in the wintertime because I'm a three-tracker. I ski on one ski with outriggers. And so my ski pants are stitched up, you know, about 6 inches below my knee. And it's really nice to be able to come in off the hill and not have to go to the restroom and, you know, take your pants down and deal with the sleeves and everything else that affects a more heavy-duty prosthetic, I guess. Also, it's good for people. I mean, I really believe that, you know, for people to see somebody literally walking around on a stick, they go, wait, that's kind of cool. And for me, I mean, I can put on a foot and pants and walk down the street and nobody
pass.
Pass, exactly. And because of, you know, what I do professionally, what I do in my extracurricular, I mean, I deal with a number of people who can't pass like that. And so I feel like it is good for people to kind of have it in their face and be in a situation where they go, wow, that's really neat. And if only for a moment, maybe around Halloween, they see it and they go, wow, that would be really great if you wanted to be a pirate. And, you know, maybe they're wishing that they were like me.
Oh, honey, I think that's optimistic, but it's nice. Okay, you're 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your leg in what must have been a horrific accident.
It could have been a lot worse.
Right. But you're 14. You're a 14-year-old guy with one leg.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
14 is a great age to cut off limbs. For anybody out there who's thinking of having it done, 14, get it done then. You know, not that you don't have a self-image or a, you know, identity developed as a human being, but being an adolescent like that, you know, I didn't know how to drive a car. I didn't know how to ride a skateboard or a snowboard. All these things that, you know, would later come into my life, I learned to do with a prosthetic leg. And I think about, you know, our young men and women who are coming back from our conflicts overseas who are, you know, 18, 19, 20, 25, however old it is. And, you know, when I got hurt, all I had to learn to do again was walk. And it was honestly kind of strange when you get up and, you know, get your first leg and you're going, wait, I've got to learn to walk again? No, I know how to walk. But it wasn't all of the things that, you know, define me as a human being in terms of I can drive and I like to go running and everything, you know, that I think about as being a young adult in your early 20s, that it really it's a sea change in a lot of ways. And you've got to reconceive your notion of your identity, you know? And so that's where, again, I mean, the adaptive sports and things like this come in and really open doors. I hear so often people say, I thought my life was over. And we're able to take people and say, no, there's a lot of great stuff out here.
Tell me about you and sports.
I was... I'm small of stature, vertically challenged, I think is the preferred nomenclature these days. I was a baseball player in Little League, never very good. There's actually a great story about my Pony League baseball team. That was the year that I lost my foot, and they put me on the All-Star team because, you know, over the course of the season, I didn't have a leg yet. And there was one time they made me hit and hop to first base. And after that, they decided, ooh, that doesn't look good. We'll give him a runner from the plate. And so they did that. And, you know, everybody's going, oh, wow, what a brave kid. Like, how awesome. And
I would have.
To me, you know, it's life. And you don't have a choice. You can lay down and feel really sorry for yourself, or you get it together and figure out what's next. Got into skiing that year after I lost my foot. I took my first three-track lesson up at Massanutten with their program. And when we talk three-track, we're talking again about one ski, no foot, and outriggers. And it's a beautiful way to ski. It's amazing.
No foot.
No foot.
What does that mean?
So I'm skiing without my foot on one leg with outriggers.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
you've got a foot down there.
I have a foot. Yeah, and that's why we call it three track. It's
okay.
how many tracks does it leave in the snow as you ski like this? And then we've also got four track where, you know, somebody with maybe limited motion in their ankles or all sorts of different balance issues will ski with two legs with two outriggers, and that's four track.
But you're a three tracker.
I'm a three tracker. I was actually a skier and snowboarder. I was more of a snowboarder. It's a pretty typical thing for somebody with my injury to be able to ride a snowboard. Because you have your knee.
Yeah.
And because they make feet that'll work to, you know, put that pressure on your heel or your toe that you need to flex the snowboard. So in college, I took a gym class and had actually moved away from this three-track thing. After breaking some feet and realizing, wow, I've got to pay for these every time I break them, I kind of became more enamored with my three-track. I actually was just looking to get on the mountain. I love to be out. I was actually three-tracking one day while I was at UVA up at Wintergreen, and the founder of that program, Michael Zuckerman is his name, and he was the executive director for a number of years, really awesome individual, stopped me and he said, hey, who the heck are you? What are you doing here? And I said, I'm Seth. I live in Harrisonburg. He said, well, you need to come teach with us. Like, come on, what are you doing? And it took me years, actually. It was probably another 4 or 5 years before I was over at my prosthetics place in Charlottesville and saw a brochure that was about the Wintergreen Adaptive Sports Program. And I picked it up.
Did you not take him seriously?
I don't know. I was early 20s and, you know, self-absorbed and whatever it was.
You were early 20s. Okay.
It didn't grab me right away. And honestly, it didn't grab me until I went, you know, I'd really like to ski this year, and the season pass is expensive, and, you know, working nonprofit, I don't have a lot of disposable income to say, oh, I'll just buy a several hundred dollar season pass for the year. And I kind of realized if I teach, I can get up there and I can teach and have some free time to play. But then they also, Wintergreen Resort is an amazing partner for us. And for each of our volunteer instructors, every day that you work, you get a comp lift ticket. And so it was that incentive that originally kind of dragged me into it. And, you know, even over the course of that first year, I just became so enamored with what we were doing and the change that we were making in people's lives. And, you know, at this point, I've got a stack of lift tickets this high, and just about anybody I ever meet, I'll tell them, if you ever want to come up, let me know. Like, I will give you a ticket. Having a